guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show. It is the intern Alex Naples, joined today by Joshua Clark. Josh, how you doing, man?
I am decent. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. The season is upon us. RSL kicks off their first match against Inter Miami within a few long hours of travel ahead of me and Andy. Andy, unfortunately, can't be with us tonight. But we got a lot to cover. We got a lot to jump into today. So let's do it. Just trying to catch you guys up before the season opener against Inter Miami. And of course, the last time we record, literally the day after the name comes out, Matt Crooks rumored to be joining Real Salt Lake. And then a couple days later, it is official, pen to paper, Matt Crooks, the new number 10 for RSL. Josh, your thoughts?
At first, I wasn't thrilled, I guess, when I first heard the rumor. But then I kind of looked into him, and I think he'll be decent for us. He's going to give us some much-needed size going forward. He loves to score a headed goal and has a pretty decent foot on him. So, yeah, I'm excited about this, and I'm excited to see how he turns out.
And so far, the biggest thing I've seen coming out of Crooks' signing is the fact that he's even taller than Demir Krylak. Everybody, yeah,
he's what, 6'4"?
6'4", yeah.
Yeah, so he's automatically the tallest guy on the team.
Rumor has it that he might be the tallest guy ever to be on RSL. But that I need to confirm that for sure.
I would say, is Olave not that tall?
He might be 6'3".
Wow, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Unconfirmed, but we'll double check on that. But still, regardless, 6'4", just going through his highlights and watching Matt Crooks with his time through Middlesbrough in the championship over in England, a lot of headers, a lot of headed goals, loves to find space in the box to just knock one down with his head. And he has the size and the tallness for it.
Yeah, I see him scoring a lot of the same goals Demir scored for us.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where he's going to pick up.
And it's funny you mention that, because the way I see it is Crook signing is really that Demir Krylak replacement. Also, he's also very involved in community. He also is very involved in giving back to the fans and giving back to the community, similar to how Demir was. Very similar traits to what Demir has on the pitch and what Demir did on the pitch. And so truly the way he just looks like a Demir Krylak replacement.
Yeah. And that's a replacement we needed sorely. But yeah, from everything we're hearing about Crooks, he's going to fit into the Real Salt Lake family very nicely.
Very good at passing. I really liked his ability to and his vision on the ball. When it kind of gives you that feeling of that number 10, that the kind of midfield maestro who's going to be pulling the strings under your Chicho Arango. So I'm very excited for Crooks to come on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate we didn't get to see him in preseason, because, you know, potentially seeing him for your first regular season game against Miami is, I feel like that's a hard litmus test, right? So, you know, I'm excited to see him get on the pitch, but I'm really bummed we haven't seen him.
And yet. That's a very big maybe too, because it sounds like they're still waiting for his paperwork to finally to go through, like the visas, you know, and whatnot, and everything, that whole process that they have to go through. So he may not even be ready to go against Inter Miami.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But it is the end of the, you know, I guess not the end of the transfer window, but that's, yeah, we waited a minute to sign him, and that's what we get.
So. It's the end of the preseason, and that's what happens when you send players at the end.
That's
of the
word I was looking for. There. Thank you.
Either way, I think just a guy I'm excited to see come on and see what he brings to the team. I think a major piece of what's going to make him successful is how he connects with Diego Luna, especially if they're going to be flip-flopping where Luna's kind of having that free role. He's going to be cutting inside. I think it's going to be vital for Matt Crooks to be on the same page as Luna to make sure to cover that left side once Luna cuts in.
Right, and I think that's a big reason we didn't prefer Windass or pursue him further. Mm-hmm. Is because he's a lot weaker on that wing, so that makes a lot of sense as well.
Funny you mentioned that. As soon as the Matt Crooks rumors came out on February 8th, literally within hours of Tom Bogart tweeting it, the Colombian media started tweeting about how Hamas and RSL was dead.
Yep.
And it sounded like it was all just a bunch of agent fluff in the end. Well,
I mean, did anyone really think it wasn't just that? I mean, really?
If there was the slightest of possibilities, maybe I think that maybe that's a conversation that RSL should have, but then, like we mentioned last time, if the salary was too much, it would have been a bad move for RSL.
Yeah, I'm fine with that move not going through.
And it also sounds like Windass died shortly after that rumor came out too from Bogert saying that Chris was coming to RSL.
Absolutely. I mean, kind of filled the same role, so bringing both of them in doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, if it was a Windass was more of a true number nine, you know, maybe give it a little more credibility going forward, but I think we're done in the attacking department for a minute.
Moving forward, RSL finishes up some friendlies. They play Klaksvik, who they beat soundly 3-0 in their final game of the Atlantic Cup. Did you happen to catch the highlight video of that match?
I did, but I don't really remember at all.
Do you remember at all the Diego Luna passes that led to the goals?
I mean, I remember them being beauties, but as far as, like, you know, the nitty gritty of it, no, I don't.
That makes me absolutely excited to see that Diego Luna is going, quickly turning at the midfield and just filtering it through to running off Julio. And just playing these beautiful balls in behind to get Julio in behind goal, to get Chicho in behind goal, because that just makes me so much more confident and excited, not only for Diego Luna and what he's going to have, the season that he's going to have, and for the season that RSL will have in the attack, because there was a lot of questions, losing so many players, losing Sava, losing Demir, et cetera, et cetera. But that is watching Diego Luna do what he does already in the preseason. I loved it. It was very, very beautiful passes.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really hoping for a continuation. Here we go. A continuation of Diego Luna's coming up party. You know, he's definitely on track to become our most valuable youngster. And yeah, if he can have a big year and Fidel Barajas can have a big year and Matt Crooks can hold it together and Chicho stays healthy, our attack looks pretty darn good.
Pretty good
attack. For the year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good attack.
Unfortunately.
Oh.
Can't say the same about the back line, but we'll get to that.
Finishing up the preseason, RSL plays a 1-1 draw to Toronto FC. Sounds like Fidel Barajas scoring his second goal of the preseason in that one. The first goal against Klaksvik and then scored against Toronto. RSL lost to Columbus. Don't know the score. For some reason, the reigning defending MLS champions didn't want any of their information out there. And so couldn't tell you the final score against Columbus. But we lost.
Because that's going to let us know, you know, exactly what they're doing this year. That makes no sense. But whatever.
There was a big uproar about Columbus being super secretive about their results and what they were doing in the preseason. They also played against Toronto. A couple days earlier, and Tom Bogart was livid, freaking out on Twitter about how Columbus did not let anybody have any information about what they were doing in preseason.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you're telling me a final score can't be put out, you know?
Exactly. Well,
what is that going to do to, like, ruin your competitive advantage, I guess?
I don't know, but it's not a good look from the defending champion, you know?
I mean, No, it's not.
RSL played Columbus. Don't know the final score. Chicho Arango got the goal in that one, and that was the final match of preseason. So overall, two wins in Portugal, one loss in Portugal, one draw here in the States, and one loss in the States. Obviously, how much weight do we put on those results with them being preseason matches?
I like to never put a lot of weight on them, whether we lose or win, right? It's so varied, right? You have guys not even reporting to camp yet because of visa issues. You have weird rotations and lineups. you know, you're trying new things. I don't think it's a good gauge at all, to be completely honest with you.
I think it's a good gauge to kind of see where players are at. Like we mentioned, Diego Luna.
Yes.
But
it's a group. It's very hard.
It's not very indicative, I don't think, at the end, because you, for the most part, Nelson Palacio didn't participate in the preseason because of his involvement with the U23 Colombian side. Andres, yep. Same thing with Andres Gomez. Chicharango missed the first couple weeks of preseason. And so I don't necessarily think that this is far from a finished product for Real Salt Lake. And even heading into the Miami match, it's not any going to be anywhere near the final product of what we're going to see from Marcel this season. But as far as like individual player performances, I think it speaks hugely to kind of where players are at.
Absolutely.
Moving on to the new sponsorship and the new kits. RSL announced a new partnership with Select Health and Intermountain Health to be the new sponsors, long-term sponsors for Real Salt Lake. Select Health gets the front of the jersey. Intermountain Health gets the side arm patch of the jersey. And then the next day, the new Peak Utah kit is released. And Josh, your reactions, your thoughts on the brand new kit.
I absolutely love it, man. We'll start with the sponsorship. I think we can all collectively be stoked that it's not an MLM, right? I also agree. Love that we finally snagged ourselves a shoulder sponsor. You know, I feel like it's silly to not get paid for that real estate when other people are. So it's nice to see that we got some nice new sponsors. And then the kit, man. You know, I kind of think you're crazy if you don't like this one, personally.
It's starting to grow on me, for sure.
Yeah. Now, I respect y'all's opinion if you don't like it, but this thing's a beauty. It's my favorite RSL kit there ever has been. So I love it. 10 out of 10. I've worn it a few times. Absolutely love it.
I think at first I wasn't really sold on the stripes. I think the stripes really threw me off. I think honestly, Select Health threw me off. Just not seeing Life Vantage on there, you know, after so many years. Same thing when they switched from Life Vantage to Life Vantage. Same thing. Yeah. But after kind of seeing, you know, all the posts, seeing the explanation of like why they went with the stripes and kind of making it the Salt Lake City skyline, it really grew on me. And it's by far one of my favorite ones already. Seeing it in person really also kind of changed it for me. And
the full kit as well, when you have the shorts and the socks with it, it is just so clean. It looks so good. I'm such a fan. It's probably going to be annoying that I keep saying that, but I love it.
I think for me, this is the first time like they've really actually like incorporated the mountains well.
Right. And it's like outside of that away jersey we had that kind of had like the graffiti in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most unique kit, right? We're getting away from a monocolor. We're getting away from just like, you know, blue sleeves or whatever. So it's one that jumps out at you and like really screams like, oh yeah, RSL, like this is sick. I know a lot of people compare it to Barca or whatever, but there's 50 teams in the world that rock blue and red stripes, right? It's nothing unique. But it's nice to see. It's just nice to see something other than a red shirt or a white shirt or a yellow shirt. It's just fun. And the yellow numbers on it, along with the yellow sponsor, just make it pop in the best way.
I love, so I had one of our other friends, the News Across the Galaxy podcast, reach out and ask about the kit and ask me to describe the kit. And the first thing that popped into my mind and the only thing that I can think of was home. For the first time, it feels like there's a kit that really resembles Salt Lake City. And I love that. Obviously, I love the red. I love the Believe kit from last year, but this one really feels like home. This one feels like Salt Lake with the incorporation of the mountains and the skyline.
Yeah, I think it just has a lot of identity to it too. Again, it's unique to what a lot of other people have. So I kind of hope it's a theme we stick with for a while, personally.
As far as the sponsorship goes, It sounds like it'll be somewhere in the realm of about $90 million annually, making it one of the most lucrative deals as far as kit sponsorship goes from Select Health and Intermountain.
You know, it's funny for RSL being such a small, undesirable market. Our sponsorship sales on big things always seem to break records and things like that. So I think that's pretty darn cool.
And I think that's
first Mount America First Field was what, 100 million.
Yeah.
Now our shirt's 90. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not bad.
I think that's a big testament to kind of where John Kimball has come in and made a difference, where new ownership has come in and made a difference. Because I guarantee you, without that new leadership, you don't see these kind of deals going through. You don't. RSL has, like you said, it's a small market, but we have one of the top stadium naming rights deals in the league. Now we have one of the top sponsorships as far as kit goes.
It makes Deloitte look stupid. honestly, he was so hellbent on having his own companies as sponsors of RSL. I know Life Vantage wasn't, right? But all of the other things that were sponsored, you know, the garbage, the this, the that. Like, why was he, you know, just using his own money all around when he could have been going out and getting these huge deals? So, yeah, kudos to the new ownership group for really making some money on the team. And hopefully we continue to see that money get put back into the team.
You've seen all the new kits. You've seen them on social media. You've seen them online. What are your favorites so far?
Obviously RSL's, because I'm a homer and I love my team. Seattle's minus the shorts is great.
Unpopular opinion, I did not like Seattle's.
That's fine. I hate the shorts. Anything powder blue pisses me off. So the shorts ruin it for me, but the shirt is nice. I like the New York Red Bulls one. That one is pretty sick. Vancouver's I think is beautiful. Who else? There's some decent ones. I think Colorado loses in this again. Their flag looks like you tried to take a picture of your computer screen with your cell phone. It's awful. Or like, you ever do those books where you had to cross your eyes and focus and like another image would pop out 3D style? Yeah, that's what their shirt looks like. It's trash.
I tweeted the other day. I said, don't hate me, but I kind of dig the new Colorado jersey. And I think it's cool.
Well, I hate you.
I think that's probably Colorado's best jersey that I've seen them have, honestly.
I mean, that's not hard to do.
I think some of the kits that really stood out to me was Minnesota. I absolutely love Minnesota's new kit.
It's fun, but it's so like niche, and like I think I would get tired of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's like a shirt I want to see like once a year, be like, oh, hell yeah, Starry Night. You know what I mean?
Well, and now they have the combination where they have the Northern Lights on one on their away kit, and their new kit has like the Starry Night.
Yeah, it's
they're going with the sky cool, motif there.
It's cool, but it's too much for me.
I really like
the worst one, honestly, my actual worst one, and a lot of people love this one too, is the Charlotte one.
Nah, that one I'm indifferent about.
It's trash, dude. It's three bleeding colors that, I don't know, it looks silly to me.
I think the worst one for me was Toronto.
Oh, yeah. No, I forgot about that. It's just plain.
Just white.
So, yeah.
No, literally like no design.
MLS kit via Tunit 2014 right there.
Toronto's, I think, is my least favorite. But, I mean, overall, like, this has probably been one of the better years as far as jerseys go.
100%. I think this is one of the strongest groups I've ever seen personally. So props to Adidas, I guess.
I think in recent years, Adidas has given teams a little bit more creative freedom. And we're kind of seeing it now. Last year, there was some really, really nice kits, some really good kits. And then this year, I think just blew them out of the water. This year has been probably my favorite year as far as new kits go.
Yeah, I'm hoping the reason for that is, you know, all the backlash they got for so many years for being so plain.
Yeah.
Maybe they finally listen to the customers that are buying these kits, right? So let's hope it continues.
I don't like the hate that the goalkeeper jerseys are getting.
Me neither. I love them. They're very 90s.
They're very nice.
It's very sick. I love that it's not a plain shirt again.
Yeah.
I'm going to be buying one as soon as they're available at the team store. Let me know, guys, over there at the team store. You know my number.
The black one is really nice. The green one's also very nice. Again, just the best jersey year that we've seen come out of Major League Soccer, in my opinion.
Right, and after the away kit, the old yeller we got last year, I knew this kit was coming, and to me, this is the coolest combination of kits we've ever had.
I have to agree. Have to agree, mostly because it's not white.
Right. It's the most unique, right? Yeah. We have our most unique away top along with our most unique home top. It's like a perfect storm. Now it's just going to get harder for the team to make even cooler kits, right? Because you've kind of set a weird bar now where if you go backwards and just give us something boring, people are going to be pissed.
Yep.
People are pissed no matter what, but like it'll be very sad to see us take a step back.
I think the major consensus, though, overall, from what I've been able to see from our posts and from ourselves posts and kind of the fan reaction, is that most people like it. Most people really like the new Pig Utah kit.
Yeah, it's absolutely the most positive reaction the kit's ever gotten.
Moving forward to Inter Miami. What are your feelings towards this game, man? It's the first game of the season. It's a midweek game. All fans' eyes are going to be on this one because it's the only game of the night and it's kicking off the 2024 MLS season.
Yeah, it's thanks MLS scheduling for putting us in a real pickle for our first game.
Yeah.
Right? We are so much of an underdog in this game. It's not even funny. That's where we like to be, right? New Miami's had a very busy preseason. They're going to be a little tired, oddly enough. That's a lot of global travel they've been on. So if there's ever a time for RSL to go in and beat Messi, it's now. No one expects it. Miami's coming a little tired. They've had a long preseason. It's such a prime opportunity for RSL to start the season off strong. I don't think it'll happen, right? Messi magic, refereeing, a lot of things could go wrong. I'm also a pessimist, as we all know. I would love to see a win, but if we could just get a draw out of this, that'd be so sick.
I think it's kind of sucks playing a midweek game so early in the season.
Yep.
It's on a Wednesday, and then on Saturday, you're right back at it against St. Louis, at St. Louis. But I think I'm not really sure yet what to 100% expect from this one, just because I still have so many questions on RSL. I think I know what we can expect from Inter Miami, but I don't know what we're going to expect, what to expect from RSL with the new tactics, with the new coaching staff, with the new look attack. There's still a lot of questions for me as far as what team are we going to get heading into this game? What does RSL look like heading into Miami?
Oh, man. I think we're just going to see an entirely new shape and an entirely new RSL. Unfortunately, we didn't get enough preseason to even know.
Yeah.
Right. I know we're probably going to try to play three in the back. And that's all I know. It's so hard to even give a prediction now because we don't even know what the starting 11 is going to look like. You know what I mean? We don't know if Matt Crooks is available. We don't know, you know, who our starting center backs are even at this point. I mean, we can assume it's Gladden and Vera, but, you know, is Holt going to be out there? We saw a lot of him in preseason. There's too many questions, and we're going to get answers real quick.
And I think one of the things that have kind of been floating around since there's the possibility that Matt Crooks might not be available is Pablo Ruiz starting at the 10, which I like the move, but I also think it's risky considering that Pablo Ruiz is just coming off the injury, throwing him right back into the fire, coming off the injury, but he played really well there in the one or two games that we were able to see from the preseason. And so if he does come out at the 10 against Inter Miami, I think that's an exciting experiment that I'm ready to see.
Yeah. And there's no better time to do it than the beginning of the season, right? Like we're away, let's try it. But then that really throws in some weird question marks. If he has a killer game and Crooks gets here and is ready, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
I also wonder, you know, we got so used to Ruiz being that deep lying midfielder spraying the ball around. You know, can we afford to let Ojeda and Palacio maybe sit back more and do that? Or, you know, what are we willing to risk here? So, again, I think we're going to get some answers quickly on Wednesday.
That's another question mark I have in the midfield is it if Ruiz goes to the 10, is it Palacio that starts? Just because Meccanelli has been here for the entire preseason and he's played well in that position. So does Mastroianni go with Meccanelli, or does he go with Nelson Palacio against alongside Ojeda if Ruiz is the 10?
It's hard to say, right? Do you reward Anelli for being here for the preseason, or do you punish Palacio for performing with his national team, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a rock and a hard place.
I think the two pivots in the midfield are are going to be super important to the success that Real Salt has this season, as well as the number 10 and kind of being on the same page as Diego Luna. So it'll be interesting to see if Pablo decides to go with Palacio or if he decides to stick with Anelli. I think the only guarantees heading into Miami are Chicho Arango. He will be the starting striker. Diego Luna. And probably Zach McMath.
I would say Justin Gladbrian Vera are pretty solid.
Probably. Yeah. But there's, as far as like the wingbacks, or excuse me, the fullbacks and the wingers go, there's still probably a lot of questions there. Again, because Gomez wasn't available for most of the preseason due to the injury. How fit is he coming off of this injury? Does Catranis start? Does Oviedo start? Who's the right back? Is it Hidalgo? Is it Anelli? Is it
Bonilla?
Is it Brody? Is it Bonilla? There's still so many questions that I have. And like you said, they're all going to be quickly answered on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think one of my bigger questions is who's going to be on the bench, right? Who's backing up Chicho? Who's backing up Luna? Who are we going to see? So many question marks.
As far as bench goes, there are some changes. There were some moves made today by the club that we will touch on a little bit. Delens Pierre, off to Colorado Switchbacks in the USL, was loaned out this morning. Kevin Lambert was loaned out to San Antonio this morning, which are two center back depth pieces that I thought we were going to have to rely on this year. In case a Silva goes down, in case a Glad goes down.
Yeah, but, you know, Pierre, it didn't surprise me so much, but Lambert really surprised me.
Yeah, I'm
not sure what's going on there, but I'm now very concerned about our defensive depth because it was already shaky and now it's on broken roller skates at this point for me.
The only thing that I can think of that kind of would make the most sense for Kevin Lambert being loaned out is roster compliance, because I think Matthew Bell was signed today as well, the draft pick, and he does occupy an international spot. And so I think in order to make an international spot, I think Kevin Lambert had to be off the roster at some capacity to make,
you know, and like in a weird way, that's almost scarier, right? Like you're ditching an international spot for a draft pick in hopes that he does well because there's really nothing else backing up Chicho Arango. That's kind of terrifying as well.
Everybody's very high on Matthew Bell. I really didn't see much from him in the preseason again, because unfortunately we just didn't get much of the preseason to be able to watch.
Yeah.
So that's another big question mark for me. What does Matthew Bell bring to the squad? Also, if you have been following the news within the league, you may or may not know, but the 2024 MLS season will be starting without pro officials. Pro decided to decline the collective bargaining agreement that Major League Soccer presented to the refs, which honestly, if you look at the numbers, it wasn't a bad deal. It was actually would make them the highest paid refs in the world. Wow. And they decided to turn it down.
Why did they say why?
I haven't been able to find any information as to why.
Were they making them fly like Spirit Airlines or something?
Probably.
Oh man, what a show this is going to be not even pro referees. That's terrifying.
So because of the bargaining agreement that was declined, the season is starting with replacement referees. So all the referees that we've seen in the past are locked out. They're not going to be able to officiate. And so heading into this Miami game on Wednesday, we're going to have replacement officials doing the matches for Major League Soccer.
Do we know where we're getting them from, at least? Or
couldn't tell you.
Oh, man. It's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
We've already had our thoughts and opinions on the officiating in this league. I think that's just going to open up doors for way more controversy than what we've seen in the past. It seems like whenever RSL goes against the Inter Miami's, the LAFC's, whoever, it seems like calls are always going against RSL that maybe wouldn't go against them in different matches.
Yeah, and now we're about to get done dirty on Wednesday.
I really hope not.
Yeah, but we will, right? They're probably bringing in guys from CONCACAF. We're about to get CONCACAF'd in regular season play. You gotta love it.
So the season is starting without officials. I don't know how long they're going to be locked out. Hopefully they can get something soon, because as much as we complain about the pro referees, they're still probably our best option.
Isn't that's just crazy. When can we get some robot referees?
I think if I read some of the information right, like the person sitting at the VAR desk watching the game and, like, you know, being in the official's ear, he was going to get like they were going to get like a 100% pay raise.
That's very interesting.
And they just decided that that's not what they wanted and they turned it down.
I'm really curious now. I need to look into this, because that's strange. There's got to be some weird, you know, you can only fly to games on a Cessna type thing that that would make, you know, them turn that down. So very curious.
I haven't really looked into it, like haven't really been able to find out as to why they were turning it down. But yeah, that we'll look into that and get back to you guys on that. But as of right now, the 2024 season starting with replacement referees.
It's horrid. Oh well.
Let's jump over to questions.
Sure, let's do it.
Let's do some questions. We have Colm Luker, who messages us: should I bet my house on RSL winning the MLS Cup with plus 4,000 odds? Basically, how optimistic are we starting the season?
I definitely wouldn't bet your house. Maybe like $100, but no, we're not winning MLS Cup this year.
Plus 4,000 odds.
Yeah. I mean, all of the pundits have us, what, 12th?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot the predictions came out.
Six through 12th is where we're, you know, expected. So we'll probably finish 5th again, right at the cusp of the playoffs, just to prove everyone wrong, so we can all go neener to them at the end of the year.
I think one of them had us at 4th. Can't remember who, but one of them had us at 4th.
That's a brave person, too. I'm pretty optimistic, though. Like, that was not very optimistic of me to say, but, you know, RSL loves to surprise us and they love to let us down, and I expect much of that this season. So that's where I'm at.
Optimism is high for me. But again, just because of how much has changed, just the new look attack, I'm very excited to see what Crooks brings, what Luna brings, what Chicho brings under these new tactics. And so optimism for me heading into this Miami game, I think, is pretty high.
Yeah, like, I have the same optimism, but, you know, this is going to kind of lead into a question from Christian. He says, do you think we have the correct players this season, or do you think we need more signings? The optimism for me is that our starting 11 is going to be real good. Where I lose my optimism is anything after that. So no, I don't think we have all of the pieces we need. And I think it'll be very apparent come the summer where we do need to strengthen the squad. And then he follows that up with, can Luna play as a 10, or do you want him out on the left? As we kind of talked about earlier, I expect to see him and Crooks kind of flip-flopping all game long. So he can definitely play as a 10.
Yeah, it sounds like the three behind Chicho are going to be very fluid. They're going to be very free roaming. And so they just need to be on the same page of, oh, Gomez is cutting in, I have to be on this side. Oh, Luna's cutting in, I have to be on this side. And really get that tuned in. And I think once that gets tuned in, that whole free roaming midfield, I think, will look very good and will be very good for us. However, I do agree with Josh. We lack depth. Obviously, like, if you look at the 10 position, right, this isn't something that is coming in this season. We didn't really necessarily have 10s last season, or really have someone playing that position last season. And now you bring in Matt Crooks, but what's the depth under him? Is it Ruiz? And then is it Luna? So just bringing in more players for the depth, I think, is important to make a run this season.
100%. And until we see that, hard to be super, super optimistic, right? For a long season.
Jake Flores says, what is your ideal starting 11? I think that's an easy one.
Yeah, I'll let you go.
Zach McMath, I think right now, is our starting goalkeeper. Beavers, maybe another season. Who knows?
I bet you, mark my words, Beavers is a starting goalkeeper at the end of the year.
Could be. Especially if, like, things aren't going ourselves way and the season isn't maybe going the way that the team expected. I can see it that being one of the changes where they say, you know what?
Time to develop.
We're going Diego Luna, David Ochoa, and he's our starting goalkeeper.
Yep.
Zach McMath, and then I think on the right for now is still Brody.
Yeah.
Jay Glad Vera, and probably Katranis.
Hope so. I hope he beats Oviedo immediately.
That would be my ideal starting 11 there in the back line. In the midfield, it has to be Ruiz and Ojeda.
Yep.
With Crooks at the top of the triangle, playing the 10. On the wings, it has to be Gomez and Luna. And then up top, it has to be Chicho Arango. That one's pretty straightforward.
Yep. And Barajas coming off the bench every game, 60th Absolutely. Minute. Yep.
Absolutely. Jake Flores also says, should we expect to finally make a deep playoff push this year?
If we sign depth, sure.
And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, I don't know where this team is at exactly yet. And we'll quickly learn what Real Salt Lake we're getting this season.
Absolutely.
With the gauntlet that we have early on in the season with welcoming LAFC, or playing against LAFC, playing against Inter Miami, playing against St. Louis, playing against Colorado. And so I think playing against Vancouver, I think really quickly we're going to learn who this RSL team is.
Unfortunately.
And then how will our recent signings impact our tactics this year? We kind of touched on that with the free roaming midfield with Crooks, Luna, and Gomez.
Yep.
Taj Cole says, top three RSL breakout candidates for this season. Josh, you take this one first.
Luna, Barajas, and we'll go Matt Bell.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Have a Meccanelli, Jasper type trajectory.
No. I think he does better than Jasper did, but I think the ceiling for those other guys are much higher.
Okay. I'm going to not put Luna on the list. Just because
he's already broken out.
Just because I think he's there.
Fair.
But I think number one has to be Fidel Barajas. Number two for me, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I
answered it quickly. What's your excuse?
I think number two for me is going to be Gozo.
Ooh, yes. I did not count that one.
I think Gozo is going to be turn a couple heads once he starts getting more minutes in this league. And I'm going to throw in Bonilla. I think Bonilla has a path to really find some consistent minutes at right back this season.
Yeah, but so do we have to see Brody fall off, Anelli not do well there to get to Bonilla, or do you think we're going to keep Anelli more in the midfield this year?
I think Anelli goes more to the midfield this year. But if Brody goes down and they decide to keep Nelly in with the pivots in the midfield, you just have Hidalgo.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's going to be an opportunity there for Bonilla to potentially step in. And
he also looks really good. So
yeah,
let's go.
Luke Rogers asks, what is your take on the season? Where do you see us finishing? Who will be the most surprising player this season? Barajas.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Finishing.
We're going to finish fifth.
I hope.
In the West.
I hope we get playoff advantage or home advantage.
Yep.
But we saw how that went last year.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Andres Gomez. Oh, Cold Lots asks, thoughts on Andres Gomez. Do you see him staying with the team for years to come or being a key player and starter?
I hope he, again, could be a breakout player this year, right?
Yeah.
I hope he puts up some big numbers and gets some looks and we sell him.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I think Gomez last year maybe didn't have the season that we or maybe even him thought or was expecting him to have. So this year could be a breakout season for Andres Gomez. He is one of those players that we probably need to see break out this season.
Yeah, our wingers look scary good.
Yeah.
Everything else questionable.
I think as far as keeping him here, I think it'll be tough, especially if he has a great year.
Yeah, I'm on. And you guys, you know, I'm all about selling guys if the number's right. So let's make some money and bring more guys in.
I think with his exposure that he just got this past winter with the Colombian national team, not only playing for the U23, but also playing for the senior team and getting a couple minutes with the senior Colombian squad, I think a lot of people are looking more at Andres Gomez and are going to be scouting him more this season and hoping he has a great season to try to take him.
Yeah, it's up to him to rack up those assists and goals.
Yep.
To make 100%. Him more valuable. So
100%. So hopefully he does have that breakout season that we're talking about. And then last question that came in from Schaefer Liu. Says, would a player like James Rodriguez ever be a possibility for RSL? And how long do you think it'll take for Matt Crooks to fit in?
James, I really don't think that's ever a guy we're going after, really. I just don't. I don't.
Maybe if he was 3 years younger.
Yeah, I think, you know, the LAFC, Miami, LA Galaxy, New York model of old of bringing in aging guys, it's just kind of really gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make sense. I don't think his name is like, it's a big profile signing, right? But he's not a household name. So does that make it worth it? And it's just, it's hard to say. But I don't think RSL would really go after that guy in the real world.
And then how do you think Matt Crooks fits in, and how long do you think it'll take for him to kind of really get going here?
I don't think it'll take too long. I think game or two, he'll be just right in there.
I think so too. I think RSL does a really good job of being welcoming.
Yeah.
Immediately once Chicho arrived, he was welcomed in with open arms by everybody. And I don't expect any different for Matt Crooks coming in.
Yeah, I definitely think he scores his first goal against Colorado. That's how long it's going to take.
All right. And so I think that's going to do it. Just a quick catch up with all the news. Remember that Andy and I will be heading to Miami. We'll have content. We'll have all kinds of things coming out on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram. So make sure to follow us on all those platforms. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We have a jersey giveaway coming up soon. Keep an eye on social media for details on that giveaway coming up soon as well. And then, Josh, anything else you want to add before we put a bow on it?
No, just buckle up. It's time to go. Season's here.
Season is here. And Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, RSL kicks off the 2024 MLS season against Inter Miami, against Lionel Messi, against Luis Suarez and friends. And it's going to be a doozy.
Let's go. I'm ready.
That's going to do it for us here on the RSL Show. Again, make sure to go follow us on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, for giveaway details coming soon. Go subscribe to our YouTube for all the content that we'll be posting from Miami. We'll have match highlights. We'll have a bunch of other cool stuff that we're going to be doing behind the scenes on Tuesday and Wednesday. And yeah, make sure to follow the RSL Show. Thank you for listening to the RSL Show. And that's going to do it from us here at the RSL Show on the KSL Sports Network.